We're here for the fifth period with the professor. We've got a special guest, but before we start, we got to give a shout out to the sponsors. Yeah, Manscaped. Can't escape Manscaped. Yeah, yeah. You know, if you get 20% off if you use the discount code MOO2Q. MOO2Q for 20% off discount code.
20% off.
Shout out to Don Rubens.
The closest
to Mexican food, authentic Mexican food you get in Saudi Arabia.
Real talk.
Yeah. Shout out to Streetwear Plug. You know, if you want all the hot kicks, if you want the most authentic, you know, Jordans, you know, I love Jordans.
Yeah.
You know, you got to shout out to Streetwear.
I'm a sneakerhead. Sneakerhead, man.
They have the best deals here in Saudi Arabia.
Hit them up.
Shout out to Object for the Object Bear and our props. They're the biggest creative space, store you can find here.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
You mentioned this every show, and I didn't even know it, bro.
Yes, sir. But yeah, so today we got a special guest.
Man.
One of my childhood heroes growing up, aside from Michael Jordan, is the professor.
Wow.
What's going on?
Bro, what's up?
The homie professor here.
Humbled to be on with you guys, man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
The pleasure's ours.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So how's everything going, man? How's LA?
Man. Things are great right now, bro. Things are great. You know, just had a Netflix and one documentary drop.
Yes. So
and
congratulations. Yeah. And the hustle or just hustle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks so much. And then just working on a bunch of campaigns. About to announce the studio, which Muta came up to and debuted for us.
Yeah, so, I'm a little angry about that because I wasn't there. You know, I wasn't able to join y'all, dude. I'm the one who wants to learn some lessons from you, you know?
He's a big fan, man. So
yeah.
He was telling me about you. He kept saying, man, you got to hit up the professor. You got to hit up the professor. I know you from your face and just on the basketball court, but yeah. I didn't know your name was a professor. So when Q hit me up, I said, okay, man, this is what we talk about.
What's funny is I hit you up on your Instagram, but you get so many DMs, you know? And my Instagram doesn't stand out. So he doesn't see my stuff. So I'm like, hey, Moo, you got to hit him up for me. And as soon as he did, like literally within 24 hours, hey, he hit me back up. And I was
that was a blessing, man. That was amazing.
It's all good, though, because now we homies, you know? Like,
yeah, absolutely. And next time you back out, we'll have you through. The trip was, though, I just watching a Vlad TV interview with Muta on there. So like when it popped up, I was like, oh, crap. Like literally, it was like I watched the interview. Straight to the DMs. He like, yo, want to have you on the show. So it was crazy how it worked out.
Perfect timing.
Yeah,
bro.
I'm glad. Thank you for that, man. You one of my faves, dude. I remember growing up watching And-One. Like,
word?
I had the And-One mixtapes.
I don't think you know how to play basketball, though, bro.
No, you see, I could. But I was the one that was good at just passing the ball. But
now everybody got to play a part.
But I'm
everybody
talking about like Magic part. Johnson, like, you know, like. Jason Kidd passing, you know, like Steve Nash type passing.
Nah, I saw you on the court, though. I saw you on the court. He got a little something, bro.
Yeah, but that.
But you got to break his ankles, count. Bro. Yeah. You got to break his ankles one time.
Yeah, I've never been able to break ankles, though. Yeah.
So tell us about the N1. I want to know more about the N1. I didn't get to watch the documentary, the Netflix series. Sorry. Q checked it out. Yeah. You know what I mean?
As soon as I saw it pop up, I'm like, watch it. You know?
Had to check it out. So I want to know more about how did this series come about?
Yeah. So 20 years ago, actually 19 years ago, I should go back even further. So about 98, And-One, the clothing company, had been going on for like 5 years at that point. And basically it was like a athletic brand, you know, basketball apparel and sneaker brand.
Mostly t-shirts though.
And what happened was they were in the NBA. They had worked their way up. They started out by passing out these trash talk t-shirts in the hood.
Yeah.
And basically it was like it's like slogans that say like your game is ugly as your girl.
Yeah.
Be like,
I remember the shirts.
It was like pray you don't have to guard me, stuff like that. So they worked their way up to the NBA. They got the sneakers endorsed by Stephon Marbury.
Yeah.
Stephon Marbury was rocking an NBA game, like debut game, like broke his ankle in the sneakers.
Yeah, like so literally.
Bad look for them.
Wow.
So they had to go a different route. And they got a hold of some highlights of my OG teammate. Shout out to Skip to My Lou.
Yeah, and, Skip to My Lou. He's the only one that actually made it to the NBA after the N1.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, my bad.
You good. So Skip was a beast, and they got a hold of a VHS tape of him hooping at Rucker Park when he was like 16. So at the time, he's like, I think he was like in his 20s, like early 20s, but the tape is when he was 16. So they made, they put together a compilation tape, and they put like this dope, like unreleased music over the top of it, and it was kind of like the perfect marriage of hip-hop and basketball. And they call it an N1 mixtape volume one. It's basically Skip killing people at Rucker Park. And it basically introduced the world to like that style of street ball, you know, where the crowds are like on their feet. They can't wait for somebody to get embarrassed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Rucker Park. You know, I visited Rucker Park back in the day, man.
That's in your hood.
Yeah, no, Rucker Park.
That's in New Jersey, right?
Is this the one in Harlem, no? Which part is in Harlem?
Like above the rim.
Yeah, above the rim. It's Harlem, I believe. Yeah, okay.
But
we got a Rucker's downtown. Yeah.
155th. And as a matter of fact, it's crazy watching above the rim because it looks so different back then, the same park. Because
they shot Pop thing in above the rim. Yep. That's dope.
With Omar Epps, right? Was it Omar Epps?
Love them.
No, it wasn't Omar Epps. It was who was in above the rim with him? Damn.
Nah, it was 20 years. No.
Yeah, that's when he had the cut Marlon on the Wayne. Face. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Marlon Wayne was in it. And that dude from the Real House of Husbands or whatever. You know,
you're talking about Dwayne Martin.
Yeah, it was Dwayne.
Dwayne Martin was the main character.
Yeah, not Omar Epps. It was Dwayne Martin. That's right. Yeah.
Rucker's Park was, man, it was known back in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the rappers at one particular time, they used to have these teams. You know what I mean? So that's big, man. So you the OG there. When I started really going to do some research, I said, man, he still look young, but you've been rocking it for 20 something plus years.
Yeah, from Portland, Oregon.
It's humbling, man. So basically from there, they picked up the mixtapes. They had such a cult following. The ESPN picked it up as a TV show in 2002.
Yeah, I remember that. Wow.
And in 2003, they had like a nationwide contest where they were looking for new talent. And I was just a fan. You know what I'm saying? I've been supporting since 98. I'm culturing N1. I'm wearing the tees. I got the shirts. I wear that even to school for like my casual outfit. You know what I mean? So I just went and just tried out when they came to my city. They had like these open trials before the game. Mm-hmm. And so I was like out there killing it. People was like going crazy. So then they invited me in the building. Next thing I know, I'm playing against my idols. But I went through this whole reality show. It was themed after Survivor, the first reality show. Mm-hmm. And basically they narrowed down the talent and they picked one person at the end of the summer to win a contract. Yeah, and so I won.
Because for that, you had to actually go on the tour to different like states, to different basketball hoods. Not courts, hoods, and play against their top, and then
You got to get the hood.
Yeah,
you got to. You know, one of the things I like, you know, of course, the culture of hip hop. Even though I don't listen to music, but it also has a culture, and basketball is one of them things that's also a culture that it breaks stereotypes and it breaks that barrier of racism.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because I'm sure you coming from Portland, now you're going to different hoods that.
And back then, as a white kid, too,
as a white kid, you know what I mean?
And going predominantly to a black athlete going to
the hood and people accepting you because you one of them. You know what I mean? It's not about your color. It's about what you bring into. So a lot of time, these things break stereotypes. It bridge gaps. It bring people together. So, but did you have any things where you would say that made you uncomfortable going to some of these hoods?
Good question. Yeah, I think sometimes it's just like real hostile environments. So like people couldn't wait to heckle you. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just going by white boy. That was before my name. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going by white boy at that point.
Yeah,
because
the hood give everybody a nickname. Hey, white boy. They would have been called Q. Kum Chung. Yeah. What's the North
Mellow
Korean
yellow.
President?
They're going to call me Mellow Yellow.
He's Mellow Yellow.
I would have been Mellow Yellow.
Real talk. Go ahead. Sorry about that, bro. But it was majority of times nothing but love.
Yeah. And you know, I didn't even think I belonged there. You know what I mean? I had gotten so good, like the spring before that tryout in the summer of 2003. I actually didn't even think I belonged there, you know what I mean? But then like I kept doing better than I expected. Mm-hmm. But looking back on it now, I was definitely good enough to belong. I didn't know it. I improved so much in my off time. Just working on the, you know, mastering the craft, working on the game, that it kind of like surprised me too that they accepted me. You know what I mean? But that is the beauty of basketball, like you said.
Now, the one thing I wanted to know, and I'm glad the documentary came out, because I wanted to know, like, you guys end up signing contracts, like NBA contracts, but for N1, I was always wondering, is the pay the same as, you know, the NBA? Because I know, I'm probably sure Hot Sauce probably got the most. Him and Skip Malu. But like everybody else,
Hot Sauce, was he the big guy?
No, Hot Sauce came after Skip to Malu, but he was a hot sauce. Because
he was a big dude that was breaking ankles.
Yeah, what was he?
I think he passed away, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so that was my close friend. You talking about Escalade?
Yeah, Escalade.
That's Mark Jackson's brother. But Hot Sauce was a dude. He had like braids, or he'd rock a big fro. He's from Atlanta. He was 6'2". Yeah. He was somebody I mimicked my game after big time. Like he was the headliner for majority of N1. Yeah. Like he would get the crowds going the most crazy, break the most ankles, had the most flair. But
I'm surprised.
Yeah, by the time I got on there, Skip to My Lou only played like a couple games. He was already in the NBA going crazy. So he only played like a couple games in the summer. And he already had like an overall endorsement deal with N1, which I'm sure was multi six figures. I don't think they're paying anybody seven figures. They never were that quite. I guess they had a lot of money toward like when we started blowing it up. But up until that point, I hadn't signed nobody to seven figure deals. Well, what happened is my first deal was about 60K. I'd say Hot Sauce was making like 90 or 100 around that time, 100K. And then every year went up, you know what I'm saying? Like they ran some figures on that documentary, but I think they were like first year figures for guys. I think at the most we signed a couple $100,000 deals for the year, but I know we were able to make money outside of it. I know I made like 800K in 2007 or something like that. But
which back then,
as soon as it,
800K is a lot.
Of course, of course.
You big balling with 800K back then, you know?
Real talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a kid, so, you know, when it ended, I was only 23 or 24, so, like, I thought, I'm thinking I'm rich, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
real talk, bro. So, how did it end, though? How did the N1 come to a halt?
It all ended up with old dude resigning. The one who was there was two owners.
Okay.
The other owner, he actually moved to, was it Taiwan? And because he wanted to be hands-on, because he's the one who designed the shoes.
Okay.
And where N1 made it in the shoe business was a Tai Chi. The shoe called Tai Chi. And it was fly as hell because it's like half of it was one color, the other half was, so it's like having two different shoes on.
Yeah, that's dope.
And then Vince Carter at the Slam Dunk Contest, he had them on when he won. And that's like the
the history, bro.
That's like the karma.
You should have had him in the documentary, bro.
That's like the karma from the Stephon Marbury when he broke his ankles. Like literally broke his own ankle.
Literally broke his ankle.
Yeah. So he was the first NBA player to endorse N1 shoes.
And then broke his ankle
and then
while wearing them.
His rookie.
The shoe.
Yeah. In the shoe. And the media kept on plastering the shoe. So that's now, crazy. Of course, the public can think if I wear those shoes, I'm gonna break my ankle.
Yeah, wow, what a
so nothing. The shoe company went down, and
then, the downfall was when they sold the company. I'm glad you asked that, that's right too. The dog paints the picture that it was on the way down before they sold it, but it really wasn't. I think that doc was a little bit to protect the owners, to be honest. Like I think. Like, if you notice at the end, it doesn't say where people are at today because I think it would have looked bad, right? They sold it for over $100 million. They split it a few different ways, so they all sit nice with their pockets. Wow. And the players didn't really benefit much. I don't feel that, like, personally, I was owed a lot because I came on later. I came on right before the peak. I brought it to the peak.
Yeah.
And then it started going down from there when the company got sold. But I think the original, my OGs, like Main Event, Shane.
Main Event, there you go, yeah.
Them dudes, Headache. Yeah. I think they were owed on the way out. You know what I mean? So I think it didn't zoom it. The storyline was pretty true, but it was twisted. It was slated a little bit to protect them.
And because they left some things out too.
It's probably the only way they got them to give interviews. You know what I mean?
Because
the company really, it never was going downhill when they were there. When they sold it, it went to a company that was owned by this elderly couple, an Asian dude and an old white dude. And they didn't know nothing about basketball, much less streetball.
It was a tech company.
Wow. So why would they buy something if they don't know
because
about it?
That
about
was the culture, not educated. Thing. And not only that, Nike felt threatened by N1 at the time.
Wow.
And so that's
why. They could have used that to their own benefit. Yeah. Though, you know what
I mean? But then they shelved it. After they bought it, they just shelved it.
Wow.
That might have been Nike.
Nike probably gave them the money, buy this, and then, you know, pretend for a couple years and shelf it.
Yeah, that might have been the case, though. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The info we were given was bought out by American Sporting Goods, which owned like eight brands at the time. They owned Asics. Yeah. They had like they had Converse for a period of time, and so like they were in clothing, and they had their own factories overseas. So what happened is they started making in their factories, and then they started releasing N1, kind of like frumpy store. They're not the cool kid stores. No longer in Foot Action, no Foot Locker, no East Bay. So it just like took it out of storage. You didn't really know where to find it. Yeah. Like I ran into it in JCPenney on accident. Like, the hell, like, who's JCPenney?
Wow. JCPenney, dang, that brought my memories.
You just brought back some memories.
Yeah, so it was like, it went from cool kid brand to like disappear and then made a lot cheaper. Cause I know they still made even like the Tai Chi. They did like a retro of a Tai Chi, but like I tried it on. Like I was like, it wasn't comfortable.
Yeah, it was
like
a weird quality.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So overnight, it was just a different company, you know what I mean? But they weren't clothing. They own like 8 brands. And who knows? There may have been some backdoor, but I know it's been bought out 5 times since we were there. Like it's in Walmart now, killing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, it's a long game. You got to be in it for the long run.
You know, but I'm just glad that you were able to, you know, push through that. And even though it ended, you still continue on doing your craft, man.
You're doing your thing, bro. You know what I mean? That studio was amazing. Studio was beautiful.
I think my kids broke his ankle though. No, but at the time though,
he just came from a surgery. We got to mention that because somebody seen a video and they said, "Oh, he's taking it easy." I was like, "No, he just came from the surgery. It was his first time back on the court." You know,
he's more of a man than me because
he still was killing us. You still was killing us, bro.
If I just got done with surgery, I wouldn't even do an episode right now. I'll be like, "No, I'm in bed, dude. I can't do nothing."
Yeah, you'd have been asking.
No, here's the thing though. That was I tore my Achilles, but it was 2019. I was just coming off a pulled muscle, you know what I mean? Because, what I was telling you guys is ever since I had that surgery, though, it's hard to get your body fully in balance. So I'm not fully in balance. So I pull, like, a little muscle here, you know, tweak something over here, you know, stuff like that. But, no, I've been healed. I've been playing for, like, 2 years now, full speed.
Yeah, that's good, man.
So I felt good. I just hadn't played in, like, 3 months because I pulled my hip muscle.
Nah, but you still was killing it. You still was killing it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, bro. I felt good.
We got the footage.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of kids were nice, though.
I think what I saw was Siki, like, Salik.
Yeah.
I call him Siki, though. Yeah.
That's my brother named Siki, you know that, right? Yeah, yeah. Who I named him after my father, and, you know, they got
absolutely
the same name.
That's why I call him Siki.
That's dope, bro.
Yeah.
So we got to invite you out here to Saudi Arabia, man. You got to come visit us out here, man.
Oh, yeah. We got to put an event together. I've already talked to him about that.
He told me. We got to put something together, bro. You know what I mean?
I would love to, man. I was telling Q, one thing goes off my YouTube channels if I do something in a foreign country, but if the video really registers the culture, it'll go crazier just because it's more interesting. Watch, for example, a couple years ago, I went to like Uganda and I hooped with this college team on a dirt court. And it was just fascinating for the viewer because it was like, you know what I'm saying? You very, very rarely see Americans actually play like in a full-on African setting or full-on UAE.
I'm sure they was happy you went out there, bro. Showed them some love, you know what I mean? That's dope.
But it's kind of pointless. Dude. It's kind of pointless if you go to a different country and you're shooting the footage in the gym where it looks like LA.
You want to be part of the culture.
You know, you want to show.
It got to be authentic, you know what I mean?
So if he doesn't end up doing it, we're going to do it somewhere in the desert.
You might have camels running past you.
We'll have some camels there.
Hey, that'll be hard, though. But no, I mean, whatever's normal to the culture, you know what I mean? We don't need to extend it to make crazy, but if it had like people rocking the
the bayas, everybody's gonna be rocking those. So
I would go crazy.
That'd be dope. Put you with the good. We're gonna put you in a good thread, day. You know what I mean?
We'll set that up. But hey, tell me about the hustle.
Oh, hustle with Adam? Man, it was dope.
How did he end up approaching you? I know Adam approached you about it, right? Which means Adam recognizes you and he acknowledges that you're one of the street ball goats.
Wow, dope.
And that's what I was so proud of.
Adam Shaw, that's another legend right there. Yeah. He's funny as hell.
He's a comical. And the good thing about him, though, he doesn't let his status in Hollywood get to his head. He's actually a really down-to-earth person.
Dope.
In person, too. Dope. And he had our main chick, Queen Latifah, playing his wife. So that was what's up.
You know, I grew up with Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
Not grew up with her. She's older than me. She's older than me. Yeah, she's very close to my family.
Yeah.
Oh,
she
wow.
was. Yeah,
she's from Irvington.
She's from Irvington. She's from the hood.
Yeah.
She was one of the first that I watched make it out of the hood. You know what I mean? Yep. So she was very close with one of my cousins. Knew my grandmother, everything.
So tell me about Adam Sandler, man. I've been dying to hear this from you.
So Adam was really dope. It turned out we had a mutual friend. This kid named Joe Vesey. It's actually like Peter Vesey's son. Mm-hmm. Peter Vesey was like an analyst, NBA analyst. But he was like a fan of mine back in the Anwin days. I remember we played in Madison Square Garden. He came to the game rocking a jersey. He was like a little kid. But you know, current day, he works for Happy Madison Productions. He's like a comedian. He's in all Adam's movies and stuff. So he hit me up talking about, he's like, what's up, man? You got a free moment? He's like, Adam wants to talk to you. And I'm like, Adam? Like, who's Adam? You know what I mean? And I haven't, yeah. I haven't talked to dude in years. He's yeah. like, Adam Sandler. And I was like, oh, like the Adam Sandler. So I look at dude's bio and it said he worked for Happy Madison. So I was like, oh, wow. I was like, yeah, I'm free. He said, all right, he's going to hit you at 2. You know what I'm saying? This is like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. But I'm thinking it's going to be like his assistant. You know how it goes. Like, yeah. I didn't think it was going to be actual Adam. But sure enough, 2 o'clock came, called, caller ID said Adam Sandler. Pick up. And like you said, he was super cool. He was just showing a lot of love. He's like, when I'm bored up late at night, I watch your YouTube vids. He's like, I don't think there's one I've even missed. And
wow,
he was just saying he loves awesome. It. And
that's mad love right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and man. I was like, dang, speechless. Because I'm, you know, I watched all Adam's movies, you know, ever since middle school or whatever. He just told me he was working on a movie he's going to do in a year. He's like, maybe we'll write you a part in it. And I was like, I took it with a grain of salt because all mm-hmm. we did was talk hoops. I thought he was just being nice.
Yeah. But
then
you thought it was Hollywood talk.
A year later, he did.
You thought it was Hollywood talk. Right?
you know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, like, you never want to get your hopes up, right? Like, I just figured it was dope. Just that we had that call, that was already cool mm-hmm. for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Dope, dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Sandler. Yeah. I gotta watch it, bro. I gotta.
You still haven't watched it yet?
I didn't watch it yet, man. But Q cried about on the movie. After he watched it, he cried. Let's keep it real.
I had a tear drop.
I asked him on one of the episodes when he was telling me about the show. Did you tell me he was in it?
In the show, I even said the professor was in it.
Then I was like, man, did you cry? I'm joking. He's like, yeah, I did cry.
I ain't gonna lie. It's a good story. I shed a tear. No.
So I gotta check it out. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way it came together was crazy. Like, and one thing that was interesting about that movie was it got received so well. Usually when there's a sports movie, like the critics, like Rotten Tomatoes and all that, they kind of frown upon it. Like, it's not real cinema. But it got like a 92% Rotten Tomato and 93% fan rating. And I was like, wow, that's tough.
Especially for a sports
inspired
movie.
Tomatoes, they rotten.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get nobody love.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, I think Remember the Titans came out. With Denzel?
Yes.
They even gave them a bad score. Wow. But Remember the Titans ends up being one of the best football movies you'll ever see.
I gotta watch it. Yeah. I gotta watch anything, bro. I cried in that one too.
I ain't gonna lie. I cried in that one too.
Yeah, even Above the Rim and all the Hoop movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only one I really remember getting well received was Hoop Dreams, the documentary.
That's right. Yeah. Wow.
That one went crazy, but like Above the Rim, White Man Can't Jump.
Even Uncle Drew.
I heard they're going to redo White Man Can't Jump. White Man Can't Jump, right? They're supposed to be redoing
that
movie?
They're supposed to do a remake of that.
Yeah, I think
they actually shot it already. It's funny you said that. I met the director last week. I was at some shoot. They wanted me to do a campaign. I was doing some videos with some NBA players, and like we were advertising the upcoming season, but we were on a commercial set. That's how I had access to the NBA players, and I guess the same dude who directed White Man Can't Jump was directing that commercial or whatever. Okay, and I met him and I was just saying, what's up or whatever.
But it's a cool, new time though. White Men Can't Jump nowadays, brother. Yeah. Like the new generation ain't gonna understand that. That's like back in the day, you know, and when we grew up, it was rare to see like a white man that had hoop that can ball, or that had dance move, that had rhythm. Cause you know what I mean? Now this is norm. So the new generation might not get it. Like what you mean?
Even rapping. I mean, Vanilla Ice.
In the '80s,
now we got Eminem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He loved Eminem too.
I gotta mention Eminem every show.
But who's your all time greatest, you would say?
Basketball player.
Come on. Talking about basketball players?
Basketball.
Oh, man. You talking top five?
Let's go top five.
I like, if I was going by position, I would go Magic at the 1.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Jordan at the 2.
Yes.
Wow.
I knew it.
I would go Kobe at the 3.
Mm-hmm.
Bron at the 4 and Shaq at the 5.
Okay.
Wow. That's
4 out of 5.
Because usually people don't give Shaq his props, man. So
4 out of 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I could have said Kareem would still be a beast squad, but I think like the funny part is people forget if you put Shaq on there, you got to change your whole defense. Like you got to make the game about stopping Shaq.
You got to get
like,
tougher.
Such a dominant.
Yeah, Shaq, you got to get tougher.
Dominant,
you know?
Yeah, he definitely for sure.
Yeah, he like just made it unfair. But I think like. That top five, I'm not mad at anybody who puts Tim Duncan. I'm not mad at nobody who puts Kareem at the five or even Bill Russell for winning the most chips or even at the point guard now. If you got Steph Curry in the top five, I'm not mad at that either because
he's
a beast too. So I think
baby face assassin.
There's about 15 dudes. There's about 15, 20 dudes you could put in that top five and still be all right. You know what I mean?
I was arguing with my kids about LeBron because, to be honest, I don't think I ever really watched him play because it was just something about him that I wasn't really feeling. I was
same with me.
He too something dry. But then when I sat down, my kid, my son Muhammad and Salik in the summer, they was like, but dad, this guy, look how he's built, for example. He's built like a football player. And let me show you. They put on some YouTube videos and he gained all my respect, bro, because he moved like a little guy. You know what I mean? Like, he moved like a little guy built and slant. Like, so after that, I was like, let me stop talking bad about LeBron, man, because he killing it, bro. Q don't want to hit it. But we got to be just, bro. We got to keep it real. Q don't want to hit it. But the way he moved, the way his body type is, and he's still like, man, he's killing it, bro.
Yeah.
You got to give him his props.
No, I mean, he does have game.
He got game, bro.
But not to the status of Michael Jordan that everybody's like, you know, arguing about.
I still think Jordan number one.
That's why.
That's my opinion.
Like, I think he's a good b-ball player.
Yeah,
he's
definitely.
He's the best in the league right now.
The way he's moving with that body type, bro, he killing
it. But he's not best of all time. That's all I got to say.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I think people don't even really know how to define him, to be honest. Because like I said, Jordan and Kobe was 6'6". He's 6'9", right? So he guards every position, could play every position. And then. He don't really have a pretty game. That's what hurts him. He don't really have a pretty game, but he does get better every year. Yeah, now he shoots 5 feet behind the line. Like,
wow.
I wouldn't put him over Jordan either for the best of all time. But
he's one of the greatest,
right there, though. You know
what I mean? He is. He's right there. You got to give it up.
Right behind Jordan and Kobe. Because even his shot now, he's a better three-point shooter than Jordan is today. Wow, like, right now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
6'9", built like a football player.
And moving. Yet, he's weaker than Michael Jordan and Kobe. The reason I say that, everybody knows that LeBron doesn't play defense as much.
Yeah.
You know, that way he could save his energy for the offense.
Yes.
Michael Jordan and Kobe, they're doing both. They're running up and down nonstop.
They smaller
45
players.
45 minutes,
they were,
50
they were smaller
minutes.
Players though, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know.
But then now that LeBron.
Huh?
LeBron locks up, bro. He's a defender. But the thing is, we're in a different era too where it's like point guards don't guard point guards. You know what I'm saying? Like, they say, hey, we're going to, like, people are more smarter about their energy conservation, which in a way is like, it could be viewed as kind of like soft because back then they went head to head.
Yeah.
But like today, like,
it could be smart though. It could just be a smart way to play the game, like boxing. Like, when people look at Floyd Mayweather, they look at it, they claim he was a runner. But if you look at Floyd Mayweather fights, he just fought a smart technical fight. You know, he said the name of the game is to hit and not get hit.
Yeah, that, actually, Muhammad Ali is the one who started that.
Yeah, old school boxers don't like that because they just go head on and just don't.
Just
you know
keep
what
hitting
I mean?
Each other so until one of us goes
evolve.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah, they evolve.
Back in the day, it was more about like just going head on for the smoke.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They just want smoke. We dying in the ring.
Absolutely, yes.
I know. But you know, but LeBron though, you know, when he gets in the playoffs though, he locks up. He's usually on the best player. So I won't say he can't defend, but I would say Jordan and Kobe were special defenders, though. Like, even like Jordan was always guarding the best player on the other team. And then Kobe, even like, he'd lock up Kyrie Irving one time. You know what I'm saying? He guarded the point guard the whole game. So,
a lot of people, what you think about Mike Bibby, bro? He don't get his
Mike Bibby?
Yeah. Mike Bibby was a beast.
Yeah.
He was a beast. He was a super beast. And it was trippy, too, because Jay Will was like one of my favorite players of all time. And then I remember he replaced Jay Will. Yeah. But it's crazy because he didn't have the flair that Jay Will had. He was like better. He took sack to a different level. You know what I mean? And I think he doesn't get a lot of respect that he deserved just because it was such a short time period where he was killing it. I think, was it injuries or something took him out?
Mm. Kept on coming on. Yeah.
But he definitely was a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was. He was. I know that's your homie, right?
Yeah, that's my homies, but I ain't biased. You know what I mean? We ain't biased. Yeah. We talking a real game of sport, and he understand that. One thing about Bibby, he keep it real, man. You know what I mean? He's gonna be the guest. He's gonna be one of our guests. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, this is the basketball month, so we're
talking
see
all basketball this month. Starting with you, and we gonna see who come after.
Yeah, we got started with the professor, man, the OG.
Hey, humble, bro. Yeah, man. Humble, man.
We appreciate that.
So I like the interview king, man. You know what I'm saying? I've seen them all. I've seen the Art of Dialogue. Vlad TV. I don't know what. There's like five outlets.
Yeah, I did a good five. I did some when I was in LA this summer. I knocked out a good five interviews. Yeah. You know what I mean? Cam Capone. Yeah, but
you be having them sound bites though. Like you'll say something about Tupac we never heard about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I keep telling him he got save it for our podcast. But you know, nah, it's all good.
Our podcast, we talk about so many different.
And topics, what's going on right now, I mean? Yeah.
And these places, yeah. They really want me to come on it. And I know that they really want to hear some pot stories, yeah. But I try my best to put a positive message in it at the end. You know what I mean? I'm trying
to close it out right. Professor, man, I really do appreciate you coming on, man.
Appreciate you, bro.
This was awesome, man. And the next time, I'll be in LA. Don't worry.
He coming to LA. Yeah,
I need you to give me some lessons.
No, no lessons. Just break his ankles.
Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him.
He got to learn the hard way, bro.
Don't listen to him.
We're going to check up and see what it do, man.
Yeah, I'm going to be texting like, bro, don't take it easy.
We might see each other sooner, though, because we might actually end up bringing him here to Saudi Arabia.
We have to. Let's work on it.
Yeah, I'm on that, man. I'm on it.
For sure. Thanks for your time, man.
Thanks for your time, homie.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Keep me posted, fellas. See you guys soon.
Yeah, I'll hit you up after this, man.
All right. Peace, bro.
Peace.
One.
Yeah, man.
Definitely legend, man. That's a legend right there, man.
You can take the headphones off, though.
We finished, yeah. Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah, don't forget to subscribe.
30 minutes.
Don't forget to subscribe, like, thumbs up, comment.
Everything he said.
Follow our Instagram, everything.
Manscaped. Stay fresh, clean start, head to toe, finishing touch, extra refinement. Bro, what did you bring me, man?
Man.
What is this?
All right. So the support for Mutu Q
yes.
is brought to you by Manscaped.
Okay.
All right. Manscaped, they are the men's grooming champions of the world. Not just the city, Craig. The world.
The world?
That's one of my favorite lines.
Wow. You really mean the world.
Yeah. Manscaped, because what they do is they offer a precision engineered... Yes.
Dope.
Grooming technology.
But I like to look rough, man. I don't touch my beard. I like to look a little rough.
What about
from the
neck down, though?
Oh, yeah. From the neck down, we got to stay smooth,
like, when you take your shirt off, it's going to look like you have a sweater.
You got to be smooth, man. You're right.
Some people are like that. You know what I mean? And I like to feel silky smooth, you know?
Silky smooth, huh?
You know, like...
Silky smooth?
Yeah. Just for me. Just for me, you know? Dope. The way I feel, like, I want to be silky smooth from the neck down. So
I'm going to give it a try, then. I'm going to give it a try, man.
So what it comes with is this set... is a special thing. Now, they just started in UAE.
Okay.
Okay. They just launched in the UAE, and this is the fourth generation of trimmers.
Okay.
Right? And the lawnmower 4.0. Mm. 4.0.
Mm.
Which means there's been many, many versions before that, but this is a 4.0.
Dope.
This one is... Dude, look at that. That looks...
Yeah, that looks dope.
That looks pretty...
That looks dope.
I think Manscaped is the Rolex of men's grooming.
Wow. Say no more.
Not Casio.
Say no more. I'm buying.
Rolex.
I'm in.
Okay, order. So this is the
give
nose
me your credit card. I'm ordering today.
Yeah. Yeah. So that it comes with this. We call this the weed whacker.
The weed whacker.
Okay. You know, because some people they'll be having like
this for the nose and the hair.
The hair trimmer in the ear. Man, I'll be seeing some people's ears and I'm like, dang.
Yeah, you know, my grandfather from Cuba, he kind of had like that afro coming out of his ears,
right?
And I'm actually following suit.
I call it the Allen Iverson here.
I'm right behind him, so I'm glad that.
Yeah. But then, the way it looks.
Even the way it is modern, the weed whacker.
Yeah, the weed whacker.
That's dope right there.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got in this box?
So the box comes with like.
Can I see?
The crop reviver.
The crop reviver, okay.
Right? It's toner.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
And then you got the crop preserver.
The crop preserving,
which is deodorant, not only for your armpits but everywhere else, you know.
Dope.
Yeah.
What else we got in that
box?
And
here's the amazing part. Look how slick and slim that is. Honestly, when I first got this, I was like, "Where do I charge this at?"
Facts.
But it comes with like a little charging dock that you just put it on and it charges it. Like the technology, I'm like, this got to be made by Koreans. My people had to make this.
Nice.
As nice as it looks, I know my people.
Check that out, man.
Yeah,
that looks
nice. Oh, camera's over there.
I try to play it off. Look, I did it slow. Look, well, actually, it's three cameras in this room. Yeah. Korean. Korean try to make us look like we don't make it's a camera
only,
there, no, and it's a camera there.
That's
say the camera recording is over there. So Now, but you saw me try to play it off. When you said that, I did like this.
Yeah,
I was smooth with it. Smooth as Manscaped.
So this upgraded trimmer, right? This upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on and off switch.
Okay.
So like you can actually travel with this. So if you click it three times,
yes,
it won't turn on while it's in the bag.
Dope.
So that's what's good about this.
Dope. Right?
Manscaped.
Manscaped.
And that name, man. They got dope. It with the name.
Yeah, they doing their thing, man.
Amazing. Marketing is amazing.
I'm gonna try it out.
Yeah. So, and then it's wireless charging too, by the way.
Wow.
Did I mention the wireless charging? For both the weed whacker and the lawnmower. This is called lawnmower.
Lawnmower
4.0.
The names are killing me, bro.
Yeah, right.
Check them out. Y'all see it. We over here with it. Check it out.
Now, here's the best part of this.
Okay.
You get a 20% discount
if they
use the code MUTUQ.
MUTUQ gets a 20% discount.
20% discount when you use MUTUQ at manscaped.com.
And
for our Saudi viewers, they just launched in UAE, which means they could deliver here tomorrow.
One day.
Bukra.
One day delivery. Bukra.
Right? That's tomorrow.
Bukra.
Right? Bukra.
He said Bukra. Bukra's did he just
tomorrow,
curse in Arabic?
Bukra.
Bukra. But I think he might have just cursed himself in Arabic.
No, I meant tomorrow. Bukra.
Bukra.